everybody. I'm Sheila. I'm an alcoholic. And thank you, David, for asking me to speak. He probably thinks I'm kind of crazy because I was at the Woodstock of AA when he called. And I'd had the hotline the night before, and till 6 o'clock in the morning, I'd forgotten to switch it off. And I saw a Tampa number come up, and I'm like, oh, my gosh, I bet this is somebody from the hotline. So I take off out of me. I'm like, hello? So anyway, you know, I finally got out there and then got to talk to him. So, you know, I just have to say this and kind of get it out of the way, but I think it really takes a lot of courage to come in here young and get sober. And, you know, I'm very happy for you. And I know that if you continue to stay sober, you know, your life will just get better and better. You know, I waited to come in until I was 49. My sobriety date's April 7th, 2007, and I'm a member of the Jaywalkers group of Alcoholics Anonymous, and have been for about 6 years, and I have a sponsor who has a sponsor, and I'm going to do my best tonight to tell you what it was like, what happened, and what it's like now. And I'll just start from the beginning. I grew up in a really small town in southeast Missouri, and there wasn't much to do in this small town. It was 25 miles to the nearest movie theater, bowling alley, anything. So we just spent a lot of time in the country. I grew up on the Mississippi River, and, you know, I learned to water ski in that river. I was a good skier, you know, because I never wanted to fall in that river. But, you know, we had a lot of good times. And, you know, I did not grow up in an alcoholic family. A matter of fact, only a couple of years ago did I find out that my great-grandfather on my father's side was an alcoholic and died in the streets. And you know what? I had never heard of him. I had never heard anybody talk about him. And that's kind of the way it was in my family. You know, there were just things that we just didn't discuss and we didn't talk about and we didn't show emotions. You know, that's kind of how I grew up. I also grew up, my parents were firm believers in corporal punishment, and so I went through a lot of emotional and physical abuse as a child. Did that make me an alcoholic? No. But it did kind of sway my thinking about things. But, you know, I had a roof over my head and food on the table, and after, you know, working with a sponsor and doing what she calls an archaeological dig, you know, I have learned that my parents did the very best that they could with what they had when they were raising me. And, you know, that took some work. But, you know, I did pretty well in school, you know, in grade school and even up to junior high. I took my first drink when I was 13, and it was a bottle of Boone's Farm Strawberry Hill. And at that time, it cost 50 cents. So that was a few years ago. And, you know, it was really just to have some fun and to fit in, you know, like the girls camped out and the guys camped out and everybody drank, and then we just kind of met in the middle. And it was just like a big party. But, you know, my alcoholism was progressive. I did not drink alcoholically the first time that I drank. And mainly it was just a weekend thing and having a little fun. And, you know, there were other things that went along with it too. But I was an athlete and a cheerleader. And, you know, I made pretty good grades in school. So I kind of fit, you know, in a lot of different places. And I guess when I was about 17, I got arrested on an alcohol-related charge. And at that was a turning point for me, because even though that my friends were doing the same thing that I was doing, I was the one that got caught, and they didn't. So it was like, you can't hang out with her anymore. And it was a lot of shame to my parents and my grandparents. And so I decided that for the rest of the time until I got ready to go to college, I was going to do the best I could and be, you know, the best person I could be. And I didn't drink much at all then my senior year before I went to college. But when I went to college, it was a whole different story because I had no curfews, nobody telling me when to come in, nobody, you know, checking to see if I was drinking, smelling my breath and all that. You know, if your parents didn't drink, it was really hard to get away with things, and I really learned how to be pretty sneaky. And when I went away to college, it was a lot of fun. It was, you know, I have to say, you know, for a long time, you know, when my drinking was controlled, I had a lot of fun. And we just, in college, it was like nickel beer night and 50 cent tequila night. And it was just, you know, it was just fun. And I made pretty good grades in college, too. I had a lot of friends, and we did a lot of partying. And then I started kind of hanging out with a different group of people, and they really liked to drink. And there was a club that was open till 5 o'clock in the morning. So we would party till about 2 across the river, and then we would drive over, and then we would party at this bar till 5 in the morning. And I remember walking out of there one morning, and the sun, you know, just hitting me, and I remember asking the guy that I was with, I'm like, where did everybody go? What happened to everybody? And he goes, you know, not everybody can drink like we can. And it should have been kind of an indication right there, but, you know, it just wasn't. I just kept on. And so I ended up marrying a good alcoholic. And, you know, I had wanted so bad to get out of that little small town. And I said, I'm going to go to college. I'm going to graduate from college. I'm going to make something of myself. I'm going to get a good job. And I turned right around and moved right back to that small town. And, you know, my drinking was just starting to progress and progress. And I had a friend who had a little boy, and he was like 4 years old. And, you know, we didn't have much money, so we drank over there a lot. And he was my little bartender, and he would go to the fridge, and he would get my beer out and bring it to me. And, you know, we didn't even think anything about that, you know, back then. And one day, they were going down Interstate 55, and there was a big truck. And he asked his mother, he called me Miss Pearl, that was my nickname. And he said, Mom, what's that truck say? And she said, well, Paul, it says Budweiser, King of Beers. He said, well, then, you know what? I bet Miss Pearl is the Queen of Beers. You know, this is a four-year-old kid, you know, that knew how I drank at you know, that young age. So, you know, just, and life just kept happening, and we just, after my husband got his third DUI, the judge told him, they said, well, either you can go to jail or you can go in the service. So he joined the Navy. So we got to do some traveling around for a while, and, you know, the military is a wonderful place, you know, to be in to drink. And, you know, he drank just like I did. And so I got pregnant and had my first daughter. Stayed sober the whole time, you know, that I was pregnant with her. But as soon as she was born, then I just started drinking again. And a funny thing happened when she was about 3 years old. This husband of mine got sober in Alcoholics Anonymous. And I'm like, good for you. That's wonderful. I'm so happy, you know, for you. And, you know, the whole time, I never went to one AA meeting with him. And I know he had to have left the big book around the house. I never looked at it. I never read a page of it or anything. And, you know, he stayed sober, and he put up with me as my drinking just kept progressing and progressing. We ended up in Pensacola, and it was, I loved it there. I'd always wanted to live in Florida, and I just said, this is it. But I was one of those alcoholics that always said, if I have this, if I have that, you know, and I said, if we have a big, nice house, you know, that'll make things better. And, you know, we got the house, but that wasn't enough. And, you know, if I have another child, which we had another child, and that, you know, and then it was like, if I get a better job, if I have a better car, you know, just on and on and on. But then when I would get those things, it still wouldn't be good enough. And So he went out to sea in Pensacola, and of course I found people that drank just like I did in Pensacola. And, you know, my drinking just kept progressing. And I'm here to tell you that there's probably a sign in a bar in Pensacola that's probably still hanging to this day, and it says, "No tequila for Sheila." Because it just, you know, it was just a wild time. And, you know, I was really bad, you know, with guns. I would, you know, I just, you know, I grew up in the country, and that's what we did a lot of times, you know, for a Sunday afternoon is, you know, to line beer cans up on a log and shoot them. So, you know, I had a habit of, you know, carrying a gun. And, you know, they were playing something on the jukebox one night. It was an old David Allan Coe song. I don't know if you know it or not, but if somebody shoot out that spotlight, well, I thought they were talking to me. You know, and just luckily, you know, the bartender was, he knew me, and he was a friend of mine, and, you know, I had some friends with me. He's like, "Get her out of here." You know, and I was barred out, and I couldn't understand why, and I just, you know, wanted to come back, but they wouldn't let me back in. But they kept my sign up. And, you know, just, and life just kept happening, and you know, we moved to Orlando. And at this point, I got the big house with the pool and the good job, and, you know, but I wasn't happy. I was still miserable because, you know, everything was getting in the way of my drinking. And, you know, the kids, they were starting to get a little bit, you know, irritated, and I found the neighborhood I moved into, I mean, they had some good drinkers in that neighborhood. I mean, we had some great pool parties and, you know, people all over the house all the time, in and out. And I thought, this is it. You know, this is great. I love where I live. I love my job. And